Amen. We are so blessed to have some of the talent that we have in this church. Thank you, Jonah Kyle. Thank you for that song. The title of the message today is Building for the Glory of God. If you've got your Bibles, take them and turn to Exodus chapter 36. Exodus chapter 36, verses 3 through 7. Exodus is the second book in the Bible. You should have received in the mail letters from the church in regards to pledging for what we're going to be doing on building a new building in the back. We've already begun. We've had a pole moved back there. We've had a ditch moved back there. We've had some groundwork done back there. We've had some electrical work done back there. We're waiting on a few things, and it won't be long, and the building will be here. We've already got the money to, and I'm saying this for some of you that may not have been at the business meetings, which we encourage you to come to. We have enough money already to do the foundation and the shell. And so there's a lot more to the building besides the foundation and the shell, and we need to raise money for that. And the leadership in the church and the church as a whole has agreed that we should move forward with this. And so next week, we will have our walk to the altar in regards to pledging to give to the new building. If you've got questions about the new building, just see Doug or Philip. Or you can come and ask me as well. They'll probably know a little bit more than I do. But if you do have more questions about it, please do that. So let me share a couple verses out of the Bible, and then I'll say a few more things. In Exodus chapter 36, verses 3 through 7, it says, "They received from Moses all the contributions that the Israelites had brought to carry out the service of constructing the sanctuary. Meanwhile, the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning, so that all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, 'The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord has commanded us to do.' After Moses had given an order, they sent a proclamation throughout the camp: 'No man or woman should make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary.' So the people were restrained from bringing more, since what they had already had was more than enough to perform all the work." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word, O God. We pray that you bless it, God, that you stir our hearts this morning. God, that you will be the one that gives us direction. Lord, that we will be mindful of what you have to say. Speak to us through your word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is a big day in the life of our church. And I know that you guys have had quite a few, a multiple building times in the church. And those were all big days in the life of the church, right? They were not just big days, they were exciting days. And I think this is an exciting day, what we are trying to do here. And you don't need me to prove to you that God has done great things in the buildings that He has prepared for you guys, that He has provided for you guys here in this church over the last 70 years. God has done great things, and I believe He's going to continue to do great things. God Himself is not a God that needs a building. He does not need a place to lay his head. He does not need a place to rest. He does not need these things. We can worship God under an oak tree, and we can worship Him in an open field. We can worship Him anywhere on the face of this planet. But people use buildings, don't they? People like buildings. People like air conditioning. They like to gather together under a roof with other people. And to that end, these buildings are built and used, hopefully, for the glory of God. Now, let me tell you where I'm going today in the sermon. I do this. I know that, you know, my children like to know where we're going. Anytime we get in the vehicle, they say, "Where are we going, Daddy? Where are we going, Daddy?" And if I say, "We're going to the church," they're like, "Okay." And if I make a turn that's not my normal turn, because maybe I, as an adult, as their father, decide I want to go somewhere else first, they're going to question me. And they're going to say, "Well, why are you turning here, Daddy?" And they always like to know where they're going. So I'm going to tell you where we're going this morning. I'm going to share with you a time in the life of the people of Israel when they were called by God to give. I'm going to share four principles that I see from the text. Then I'm going to call you to action in two ways today. So you'll be thinking about that and praying about that this morning. And in both of these, I believe that God has asked me to give, to put before you, for you to respond in this way today. Number one, when we're done, I'm going to call you to the altar to pray this morning. I'm going to call you to the altar or to the sides there, to the aisles, to pray with someone, to pray by yourself, pray with a family member, pray with a friend, pray with someone you can't stand, all right? It doesn't matter. To pray for this building, to pray for the giving of it, to pray for God to direct us in it. So I'm going to pray, I'm going to call you to prayer today. And then secondly, I'm going to call you to prayer and fasting this week, leading up to next Sunday when we give our pledges. We have a prayer guide for you to follow. It is right there at the table. And Wednesday, I will ask that we as a church, as many of you that the Lord has stirred your heart. Now, that's an important phrase there, stirred your heart, or your heart is stirred, or you feel led to fast with me on Wednesday together in a healthy manner. We'll talk about fasting in just a minute. To fast the entirety of the day on Wednesday and then meet back together at our normal Wednesday night prayer time to pray, and then you can go and break your fast. So those are the two things I'm asking for. I'm not asking you to give money right now. I'm not telling you how much you should give. I'm telling you that I want you to pray about it today, and I want you to pray and fast about it this week. The book of Exodus begins 400 years after the children of Israel had moved into the land of Egypt. Now, you should know all about that, right? Because I spent all of 2018 preaching on the book of Genesis. And if you weren't here, you can go on the website. We got all of them there. And if you liked it so much, you can just go back and re-listen to them, all right? All right? Yes? Yes? Okay, all right. Their brother Joseph had been sent by God ahead of them, so that he might save them. And when Exodus begins, we're introduced to this little boy named Moses, right? Moses, whom his mother loved, even at the risk of her own life, she kept Moses, even though the king at that time had said that all the children that were born to the Israelites, all the boy children, they were to be killed. But she hid Moses, and when it came to a point where she could no longer hide him, she took him and put him in a basket in the Nile. And then along came Pharaoh's daughter, and she found him and adopted him into her family. So we're met with Moses, and the people of Israel had become a great number of people at this time, so great that the people of Egypt feared them over how many there were, and so they pressed them into servanthood, into slavery, and so they tried to oppress the people of Israel. It didn't go well for them, because God was at work in them. And even though these people from another place, sojourners in a land that was not theirs, they did not have a land for themselves. God was calling these people, millions of people, to go, and he was going to give them a land of their own. And God, through mighty ways, delivers them out of the land of Egypt. And as they go through their journey, they stop at this mountain called Mount Sinai. And God gives them 10 commandments to Moses, and he gives them a lot of other laws. And while he's doing it, he gives them instructions on a tabernacle or a sanctuary to be built. A place of dwelling, a place where God would meet with his people. And God has given these instructions to Moses for the parts of the tabernacle and how to build it and what to build it out of. Some of it would be out of gold, some would be out of silver, some would be out of bronze, some would be out of wood, some would be done out of ram skin, some out of goat skin, some out of hair, some out of purple dye, all these different things. He gives them instructions on how to build it, to build a place where people would come together to worship. A place where the presence of God would come. A place to be used for the glory of God. A place that would point them forward to Jesus if they were able to see. And when it came time to build this tabernacle, God told Moses to give the people a chance to give. And I want to share with you this morning what Moses told them. And I want you to see how they responded. And I want to apply that to us today. Now, I'm fully aware that we're not the Israelites wandering around in the desert, okay? We're much better off than they were. I'm fully aware that we're not going to be offering animal sacrifices in our new building. So we're not exactly like them, but there are a lot of parallels. We are planning on using this building for the glory of God. We are planning on using this building to point people to Jesus. And we plan on offering our lives as living sacrifices in the buildings that God has given us. Our vision statement is that we need to be a gospel-driven church devoted to love, God's word, prayer, fellowship, generosity, service, and disciple-making to the ends of the earth. And at Trinity, we believe the gospel. The gospel that we have sinned, but God in His mercy and His kindness sent His Son Jesus Christ to live the perfect life that we have been unable to live. And to be arrested, to be beaten, to be hung on a cross and killed for our sins and our trespasses. To be put into a grave, dead, and then be raised to life 3 days later. And that all who put their trust and their faith in Him will be given eternal life. We believe that. And we want to use the things that God has given us here to lead people to Christ. And if we are faithful, we can use the building for that end. To love people. To teach the Word of God to people. To pray for the things of God. To fellowship with the people of God. To serve the people of God. To be generous with our time and our possessions. And to be a place that we use to reach people and raise them up in their faith so that we will be faithful in making disciples to the ends of the earth. So let's consider this text this morning and how it applies to us. There are four principles I want you to see. The first is this. God calls us to give willingly. Or we could say God gives us a chance to give. I read to you the first part of chapter 36, but we're going to step back just a little bit and look at chapter 35. And I'm happy to know that many of you have read this already, right, this year? This is probably familiar to some of you. This whole thing that happened in Exodus, probably maybe around, what, February? Okay, maybe a little before then. By chapter 35, God had given Moses the Ten Commandments twice. Remember the first time He broke them? He had also given instructions on the tabernacle that He wanted built, this place of worship that would point people to Him and to His Son. And when it came time to build, God called on the people to give. The same God who parted the waters calls the people to give. The same God that brought the plagues down on Egypt calls the people to give. The same God that Moses wrote about, and he said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The same God that Moses wrote about where he says, "And God said, and there was." This same God is going to say, "Let the people give a contribution." Even though God could have created the tabernacle for them. He could have said, "Let there be a tabernacle." And you know what would have happened? There would have been a tabernacle. Now just think about that for just a minute. I don't want you to overlook that for any second. God does not need anything from us. God is not a God that is in need. He is a sovereign God. He created everything by speaking it into being. Our relationship with Him is a relationship built out of His love for fellowship with us, not any need that He has. So God wants them to build a tabernacle. And He says, I'm going to give you a chance to give. Look in Exodus chapter 35, verses 4 through 9. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution. Gold, silver, and bronze. Blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skin, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones for the stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastplate. He gives them all the opportunity to give. Now notice who he's speaking to. He's speaking to the whole congregation of Israel. These are the people of God. Just like today, we are the people of God. And what does Moses ask for? He says, take a contribution for the Lord. Now notice this. He narrows it down. I want a contribution, but there's a select group of people that I want this from. Whoever is of generous heart. He did not tax them. He did not say, if you're going to live under my protection, you're going to have to pay me. He did none of that. He just said, whoever is of a generous heart. And this is the call for us today. It is the person with a generous heart. This is the New Testament principle on giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, Paul tells us, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. Now we believe in tithing here. I believe we're called to tithe, to give a tenth of what the Lord has given to us. I believe this because we see that God had Abraham do this even before he had given the law. And Abraham is our father and our example in the faith. The offering that we're asking for in regards to this building is a free will offering. It's extra. It's beyond tithing. Some of you may say, well, I don't tithe. And so I would say to you, maybe it's not time for you to give to the building yet. Maybe this is a time for you to start practicing that spiritual discipline of tithing first. Because God is going to provide for us. There is no doubt. This is an opportunity for you. Now notice further in the text. I want you to see this. This is a long section, but it's important that we read it. I thought I said, I'll just paraphrase it for him, but let's just look exactly what God says. I want you to notice the times where He talks about the Spirit moving, the hearts being stirred. This is following Moses telling them to give. It says in verses 20 through 29, it says, then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. So they've got this command to give anyone who is willing. And then they leave. And it says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. Now look, he's going to start talking about all the little different things that they gave. And this is important, okay? So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart. Brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets and all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or scarlet yarns or fine linen or goat's hair or tanned ram skins or goat skins brought them. Now, not many of you have those skins lying around, do you? And if you do, I would like some for my office, okay? Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's contribution. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work brought it. And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. All the women, notice, whose hearts stirred them to use their skill, spun the goat's hair, and the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spices and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and the fragrant incense. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering to the Lord. We do not want to force anyone to give to this, simply to ask as Moses did, because this is the Lord's word. Only those who want, whose hearts are stirred to do so, whoever has a willing heart, it says here in the text, only those who can make a contribution, whose hearts are moved, they brought a free will offering. And if that is you, praise God. And if it is not you, no one is to judge. Shame on them if they do. Their offering would be in vain. This is something that God is calling us to do, only those who are willing to do so. I am not... I've been here for almost 2 years. I don't talk on giving a lot. If you're new here today, I'm not one of these preachers that just wants your money. This church is not a church that just wants your money, all right? We're just not that way. God does not need anything from you or me. We're the ones that need to give, that we might be blessed. So the first thing we saw is that God called them to give willingly. The second principle is that God gives us all an opportunity to give. Just like us today, God had given the people of Israel various amounts of possessions. Not everyone had the same amount. Some had more than others. Some had gold and silver. Some just had skins. Not everyone had the same thing. If you notice in the text, it says, let him bring the Lord's contribution. And they list a whole lot of ways to give. Whether it was precious stones or garments or yarn or oil or incense or fragrances, they all had an opportunity to give in different ways. Some were expensive and others not so much. There were many different options on giving. Same thing for us today. Some of us, God has blessed overflowing. And some of us, God has given just a little. Maybe God is calling you to give just a dollar a month. I don't know. And there's a person in our church that gives just a couple dollars. Being faithful to what God has called her to do. He gives it to us in the first place. We give it because He calls us to give it. So that He might teach us. So that He might shape us. So that He might test us. And so He may grow us up in the faith and that He might bless us. The third principle that we see in the text, but you don't see it clearly, is that God has given us all things. Now notice in the text, something that does not show up here is where did they get all this stuff? They were slaves, weren't they? And not only that, now they're wandering around in the wilderness. And it's like being in some parts of Mississippi. You can drive and drive and drive, and you're like, I think I'm going to run out of gas. Or in Oklahoma, like, when's the next gas station? They didn't have gas stations in the wilderness, all right? Where are they picking up all this stuff? Well,
If you go back all the way to Exodus chapter 12, as the people of Egypt are like, get out of here. We're tired of the plagues from God. Y'all get out of here. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 12 as they're leaving. It says, the people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. They had all these things because God had first given them to the Egyptians. And then God gave it to the Israelites. And they recognized that God had provided all of these things. All that we have today is from the Lord. Everything. From the shoes on your feet to the ponytail holders in your hair. Spot. You wish. All that we have is the Lord's. The Lord has given us life and breath and intellect and skill. All these things we use to make a living for ourselves, they are all given to us by God. So God is calling us to give willingly. God gives us all an opportunity to give. God has given us all things. And then finally, we see God provides when we are generous. That God provides all that we need when we are generous. Notice this amazing thing. The text said that God called only those who were willing to give, right? Only those whose hearts were stirred, those who wanted to, those are the ones who gave. And guess what? It was more than enough. This is why I know God's going to take care of what we need. It was more than enough. This is the verses that I read to you to begin with. This is the people. So the people that are working on the building, like we'll just say Mr. Doug, all right? Mr. Doug, he's working, he's trying to get everything done. We have a building committee. Phillip's on there, and Spot's on there, and Cindy's on there, and Megan's on there, and Miss Chrissy is on there, and I probably missed somebody along the way, and Gay and Johnny and one more person. Leanna? No? Lynn, yes, Miss Lynn. They're all on there. And it's they're there, they're working. And just imagine, if you would, they come to me and they say, now I'm not Moses, but just in the story we'll make it work, okay? Mr. Doug is Moses. But they come to me and they say, Avery, we got too much money. You're going to have to tell the people to stop giving. This is exactly what happens in the text. This is amazing. The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gives an order. They send a proclamation throughout the camp. No man or woman should make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing more, since what they had already had was more than enough to perform all the work. This is amazing. No tricks, no gimmicks, no TV programs begging for money, no call-in hotline, no promise of a gift that had been prayed over, and we'll send it to you if you'll just give us $100. Simply a call originating from God, spoken by the mouth of Moses to the people. All who are willing, give. And they gave. And it was too much. I pray this is what happens for us. That it'll just be too much. They probably won't tell you to stop giving. But maybe you could try to get us to say that. That would be a blessing. I believe this is the case for us. I'm asking that we pray and seek the Lord over this. And that we fast on Wednesday, asking God, God, what would you have me to give? And God, direct others in our church to give as you call them to do it. Now, let me just speak just a minute about fasting and why we do it. Biblical fasting, and I'm not talking about health fasting, because we have that today. It is abstaining from something for some spiritual purpose.
It's not simply going without food. Rather, there is a spiritual purpose to it. God's people throughout the Bible would fast for various reasons. They would fast like Ezra did when they wanted to strengthen their prayers. They fasted. When they were seeking guidance from God, they fasted. If they wanted deliverance or protection, they fasted. When they wanted to humble themselves before God, they fasted. When they wanted to express repentance or grieving, they fasted. When they were concerned for the work of God, they fasted. When they wanted to overcome temptations, they fasted. When they simply wanted to express their love and devotion to God, they fasted. Jesus said His disciples would fast. And God works in our earnest fasting, just as He works through our earnest prayers. This is what He says He will do. This is the principle that we see in the Bible. So I'm asking, this is what I'm asking. I'm going to clearly define it. That as many of you as is possible will join with me this Wednesday and not eat the entire day, only drinking water, unless you are medically unable to do so. And then maybe you've got to be a little bit more creative in your fasting, because some of you may have to eat or drink something besides water. Now, as we do this, I'm going to let you know, it's not easy to fast. It will be uncomfortable for you. You might get a headache, especially if you drink caffeine every day, or if you are addicted to sugar, like some of us in the pulpit up here. I'm not going to name any names, all right? It's not going to be easy, but I'm asking that you do that and that we meet together at 6:30 at our regular prayer meeting time this Wednesday, and we pray together for God to direct us and guide us in regards to this building. And let me tell you what I'm asking you to pray. Three things. That God will lead you personally in what you should give or not give. Secondly, that God would lead others in what they should give or not give. And thirdly, that the building will be used for the purpose of God above all things. So just three simple prayers. One for yourself, one for others, and one for the glory of God, all right? Now we have a prayer guide down here that you can use to pray throughout the whole week. It's got day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. I'm asking you to pray that all, to use that prayer guide all week long. I have 100 copies. If you're married, grab one. You and your wife, you and your husband, use that. 100 copies. If you're not going to use it, please don't get it. So I'm asking you to pray this week and fast with me on Wednesday and come and meet for prayer. And then after we're done, then you can eat after that on Wednesday evening. All right? So with that being said, the invitation is this. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat this morning, as many as are willing and able to come to the altar, and let's pray together. If the Spirit moves you or if your heart is stirred, I'm going to call you to prayer. I'm going to ask you to grab a person and pray with them. Put your hands on them and pray. Someone you love, someone you don't get along with, whatever. I don't know why. I just went this direction over here. It just comes naturally. It was an accident. Let's just pray together this morning. Y'all, this is a big deal, okay? It's a big deal. It's a lot of money, right? This is not something we should take lightly, but something that the people of God should spend time praying together. And I know you can pray on your own. But we see often in the Bible, the church gets together and they pray. They lay hands on one another and they pray. And so I'm going to ask you to do that. I know it's uncomfortable for some of you to do that. If it is, just pray where you are. But let's pray together over this big commitment this morning. And let's give all glory to God as we do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that You do God, we pray that your Spirit is moving even now, stirring our hearts to do your will. Forgive us, O God, of our sins. Forgive us, O God, of our unfaithfulness. Lord, excite our hearts about the work that we can do for you here in this community, with or without a building, Lord. We pray, O God, that our focus and our attention will be on you and on you alone. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.